This morning I'm turning to the Gospel of Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, I'll read to you from verse 23 to 24. And Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? So these are the words we are considering this morning. Our subject is dangers of worldly riches to salvation. Dangers of worldly riches to salvation. And in this passage, the Lord Jesus Christ was interacting with the disciples that were with him, and it was about a reaction that the young man, but in the passage we are told that he has possession, he was rich, he was wealthy. And this young man came to Lord Jesus Christ to inquire about how he can gain eternal life. We have the information in the passage, we read from verse 17 now. And how he can gain eternal life. And when he asked this question, the Lord Jesus Christ directed him to obey all the laws of the law of God, the Ten Commandments, as it's what you say. And this young man said that he has what? Obey all the law of God. The Lord Jesus Christ tried to mention some of them to him as we have from verse 19. That is when the commandment, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not honor thy father and mother. And it went, he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. I have been a faithful religious person, observing all these things. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ did not say that well, he has not done well, so that he has done well. But knowing that this man was lacking sincere love to God, despite his claim of obeying God's commandment, he drew his mind to give up his wealth to the poor and then become one of his followers. The fact is that he was telling him, you love your things, give them up. And it was a test of his love. If truly you have obeyed the other part of the commandment, that shall not do this and all that, then give up the things you have and come and follow me. That is the way to eternal life. And as I said, Lord Jesus Christ was testing his love for God. Why? For following Jesus Christ is following God. Coming to know him and be his disciple is to come and be a follower of God, or as we say, a child of God, to learn of him and to become one of his people. But we are told in verse 22, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. You see, when it came about other parts of the commandment, he claimed he has obeyed all, but when it comes to love of God, and that is the first, that is the most important thing. We know that Ten Commandments, the first part has to do with God, us and God, and the other part, that at the second half deals with our relationship with others. So the man said, yes, I have done well with all this. But the Lord just went for him. What about God? And if you don't love God, it is false you have obeyed all the commandments. That's what it means. The American said, is that a bad man? Why is it? And I said, I said, Yobanya. No, so we didn't run in here also. It's Bob on Randy. I say, and good Nipa, and where and to our rear, and we are there, and that's a draw. And you see, obey, you went that when I do it, and you didn't hear also. Now, yes, and you, yeah, I have Randy, and the fact that, and there, when you're my own, yeah, Tom Fama, a ton of facts saying, help for every academic. The Bible, the fact that they're doing to Ben my tears asked me, you know, the real will be brave. He said, no more idea or before her. And I, because sadly, yes, to catch her, you know, and yeah, and second or this son, I can say, in fact, fair. I want to know one or one, I come on one, I said, I come on, dear, I need. And because I, you have one brand in here, dear, here, the kind, as it means this one. The question is, the young kind of means, we said, I said, the kind of saying, dear, I need him, see which would have come on. And they have winning their mirror. So there's me and there, Noah. There is this CEO, in real of your good of my own. He said, Yakuma, dear, I know what. They came to me and then in Serbia. So that is the context of the words we are coming to consider. So what we have here is that this young man refused to come to Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, in the Bible, whenever you see Jesus Christ calling somebody, come and follow me, or somebody say, I'll come and follow you, it's a picture of faith in him. I trust to commit my life and my heart and everything to you. You are the Savior of the world. I trust that you forgive me and make me one of God's children. So whenever we see, come, or say, come to me, or whatever, it means to believe in him, to give our heart and mind to him. While he was here physically, people went to him physically. And yet, their hearts still move to him. But for us, we don't see him. We come to him when our heart moves to him. And what he has done on the cross of Calvary for all sinners. So, what occasion this was in verse 23, 24, we are picking up our lessons from, is this matter of worldly riches, where this young man was refusing to let go. The Lord Jesus Christ told him, he saw that he shouldn't own anything. But he pointed him, he did that to let him know that he loved riches. He loved possessions. He loved his heart for the things of the world is far beyond the love of God. That's what he pointed to him. To let him know that he is a sinner. And until this love is taken from these things, he can never love God. You see, when the man seems to claim he loved the boy, he has obeyed God's way. But just said, no, you don't love him. Because with your heart, the most important part of you is on the things of this world. Let me read to you the text, the verse 23 to 24. And Jesus looked round about and said to his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. Even the disciples were, hey, then who can? Because they do that. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? So just Christ explained to them, it's not thinking of just having them, but trusting in them. Because it's not wrong to have, whether you have like everything in the world, you don't need to even have anything. But he explained that to trust, to have confidence, to make them your God. Sorry. That is the problem he has about this young man. So now, all that Jesus Christ was saying that he wants anyone who places his confidence in world riches, that it will be difficult for you to really find salvation or seek salvation for your soul, whether man or woman, if you love the things of this world and if you place your confidence in them, you can never find salvation. Because this heart must be given up to God. Must be yielded up to God. But here am I. I've placed these things on the things of this world. I can never have. So that's the warning in the passage. Many a time when we speak about worldly riches and worldly possessions, some people think, well, I think then we don't need to work at all. We don't need to say, no, he's talking about loving them. And every one of us, if we love them, we know. And most of the time, we know by when we come to lose those things. When we lose things, how do they affect us? How does it really wreck our life? If we are those who love our things, so we lose them, our world has come to an end. So that's what Jesus Christ was telling this young man. If you lose everything, well, lose everything. Will you be happy person? That's the picture. Sell, give to the poor. Will you still think that God is good to you? I'm sure we have heard many people who say, well, when they have lost something, as if God is there, why this and all that? It all tells us of where they have it. But then, the whole warning is that when anyone places his or her confidence in things of this world, anything, because possessions are a variety, that also, some may have this, some may have plenty, some may yes, but whatever things you place your heart in, that is worldly, but it's earthly, it will be difficult to seek salvation for your soul. It will be difficult. You know, salvation is the greatest treasure any man born or any woman born as a sinner can have from God. Salvation is a gift of God. We don't save ourselves. Yet, the Lord Christ came to die on the cross of Calvary. But you cannot save yourself by yourself. Save, unless God through that work saves you. Yes, you come to believe, you repent of sin, but He has to save you. You see, He is the Savior. And the greatest treasure to receive from God. This world today thinks of many treasures, and also, but the greatest treasure in the whole world is salvation for the soul. Because it's the only good thing from God that makes us eternally blessed. If we say, Because for, you know, forgiveness of sin, to be forgiven of our sins, all of our sins, to reconcile with God, to have a new birth, eternal life, and have your name written in heaven as a citizen in heaven, all these things come to a soul that is saved from sin. So, you bring your money for church, and then you point to me, Baku, now you can go. Then you will go from it down. If you are not saved from sin, you cannot have all these blessings of heaven. So you see, salvation of the soul is the most important thing. And as the Bible teaches us, all these blessings was procured, was secured for us when Lord Jesus Christ came to die on the cross of Calvary. So in Shreya, if you show my ear, in Shram, in So that whenever a sinner repents of sin, turn from it and come to Lord Jesus Christ and believe in Him. The Bible tells us immediately He has access to God's kingdom. Always my example is the thief on the cross. Remember, immediately he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, he left his soul to Him. That, remember me, save me. And Lord Jesus Christ, today you be with me in paradise. Today you are with me, your life is with me, and it will be forever. So that the key to God's kingdom is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, salvation is the most important thing for us. So the Lord Jesus Christ was warning in the passage that it is hard, the most important thing to receive for us. It is hard for those who have trust in the riches of this world, who love the possessions of them, who love to have them. It will be hard for them to own this most important thing. Because while one of the parables, he used the pearl, a man who sells a loop of pearls. He had plenty of pearls there, but when he went to see the most beautiful, most expensive one, he went to sell everything. See, so unless we sell off our love for things in the world, we cannot receive that free blessing of salvation, Lord Jesus Christ. If we love the things of the world, if we trust them, and then we give our heart to them, we can never have salvation. Many may claim to have salvation, but while they love the things of the world, they are liars. Well, it's not possible. Also, Jesus Christ said, you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon are the riches of this world. So, which means, mammon. You see, we cannot. If we give our heart to these things, we can never know God. We can never know His salvation. Because we love them and God Himself. So, before I move on, friend, have you entered into God's kingdom already? Are you there? Are you among those who have removed their hearts, their trust, the things of the world, and have come to Lord Jesus Christ and bear your heart to Him to ask Him to save you? Are you among them? Has He received you into that kingdom? Are you born again? That's the question. He told Nicodemus, except the one be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And for us to be born again, our heart has to go to God. We must turn our heart from the things of this world. Is your happiness entirely on Christ? Are you a Christian? Are you born again? Do you find in Christ all your happiness? If you don't, you are not saved. Because Christ should be the happiness of the one He has. Meaning that His life, His example, and all the promise of Christ should be that cheers our heart. Whether we have plenty or nothing. And by that, we yield ourselves to Him. Knowing Him, we don't want to give our heart and mind to anything. Each and every day, we think of Him and His work on the cross of Calvary for us. And that is all that it makes us happy. There's a hymn, right, that says that though he was picturing her condition, very troubled, trials and difficulties. But I said that let this assurance control that Christ has died for me. Despite all her troubles, this is the only assurance of her soul, her joy, her confidence that Christ has died. Let everything go, but let this blessed assurance control his heart and feelings. Are we those whose feelings and hearts are controlled by the fact that whatever happens to our life, we think of what Christ has done for us, and we are enough for us? That Christ has taken me to be His friend, has taken me to be His child, has taken me to be one of those He loves in this world and He cares. Then there's nothing that I lose that becomes so important than His love for me. Are we one of those? Do we love Christ in that way? If we have not, then we have not come to that kingdom. If we are not those who love Christ above everything, if He is not all our all in all, we don't know God. Because it is only that we can truly. You know, before Jesus Christ said, "My peace I leave with you, not the peace of this world." Do you know that peace of Christ? Or we think of peace when we have abundance in the world. The peace of Christ is when we are reconciled to God. When in our mind we know that God has nothing against us, that all our sins have been cancelled by His death on the cross of Calvary. And that is far, far greater and mighty and wonderful than anything to own in this world. And that to own or lose them, it doesn't count, you see. Come and taste and see that the Lord is gracious. The Bible tells us, oh, come and see. Come and taste the graciousness of God. To taste the graciousness of God is to taste His forgiveness. It's to know Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. That my soul is resting in Him. As in Colossians, we are told, believers are told to set their affections on things above. To set their hearts on Christ. He's seated above. He's in heaven for us. He's interceding. And all the troubles of life, then I lift up my heart, my mind to heaven, and I think of the promise of Christ. He is there for me, and then He is my all. Let me lose everything. I have Him. You see what He said, that some we may lose our mothers, brothers, whatever He comes to, but He will give us more in this life and the life to come. Meaning that we will find everything in Him and His provision, His promises, we will trust, and that will be our all before. If you have not come to Him, come and taste His graciousness. You don't have your heart to Him, because when our heart is on this world, it's in this world, and we are happy for the things of this world, and we enjoy it, I think we feel that these are the things that should give us. We will never give our heart to God Jesus Christ. The Mekan Yahweh says, see, any Yakuma, any Yahweh, 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 into me where I if I can see you in my right, it's near what you said. Yesu the car of myself, may I pass some gain of the mamma, you will ask that some gain. If you have never used to ask him in his name, and he said, and love you when I walk out with him to know. How highly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, children, how hard it is this for them that trust the riches to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of God, sorry. Now I want to bring to your notice two dangers that people easily fall to when it comes to riches of this world. Two dangers. Anyone, even if we are believers and we are not, and we have become cold and we become worldly, we may fall into this. But this is what riches, dangers and riches of this world bring. These are the words of Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he's telling us, it's not me, not anybody, these are his words, that the riches of this world bring dangers, that dangers that prevent people from coming to him. This again goes to our charismatic friend who, health and wealth preachers. Have they read the word of Christ? They tell people to chase after the world, things of the world. But Lord Jesus Christ says, there's a danger. Are they and Christ, who is teaching the truth? The Lord Jesus Christ teaches the truth. The Bible has so many warnings about riches of this world. The Bible never encourages any believer to chase the riches of this world. The Bible always teaches, so whenever there's a mention of the money in the Bible, there's a warning. Because Jesus Christ says, you cannot serve God and mammon. See? The Bible always wants us. Here is one of the warnings. As I said, it's not that we should not have the things of the world, but the fact is our love and trust in them. That's the problem. Because if we don't love and trust them, we will not love to have the whole world for ourselves. Any little we have, we will have it. And give and seek and find a lot. Will not be those who want to have everything in the world, become the most richest to be happy. No, any part we have, any portion we have, the things of the world, our mind will be okay. Will not be fretful. And, I want this, I want that. I don't know. Will not be those people. You see, will be those whatever comes our way. We'll work, we'll do all that we do to have life. But we will never be those who are anxious about things of this world. Okay, so I want to bring out two dangers about the riches of this world that we easily fall prey to. The first one is danger in desiring for riches. The first one is when people desire for riches. When we desire them. And this desire is not just maybe I need something that will help me to live, but desire where I feel that I should be satisfied. When I have plenty of this, that's what I'm talking about. Because all of us, we have needs, then also, which we pray that God should provide for us. I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking of somebody who thinks that I must chase after the things of the world to be somebody. To have happiness. That's what I'm talking about. Because we know there are many who make acquisition of wealth their aim of life. And this idea is very popular now, isn't it? Also, acquisition of wealth as the aim of life. Because they think that having abundance will secure them endless happiness. And they seem very brave. They did kind of say, There are many who, under the pretense of fending for the necessities of life, when they think of wealth, they are working to earn a living, I mean, it's a good thing. While they do this, they set up avarice, covetousness, and greed in their heart. So that, well, they are working, but their whole desire is like they may have so much for themselves. So they set up in their heart greed at the pretense of, well, I need this thing, I need that thing. And sometimes, definitely, it's not that they need those things to live. They need them for different motives. So they set this thing in their heart. Covetousness and greed in their heart. So their trouble in life is not just about living as ordinary people in this life, having necessities of life and live, but in obtaining trees of gold. That they will have trees in their imagination, they will have trees of gold where money will be harvested like oranges on them and all that, so that they will just do this and money flows. There are a lot of people say, do this and money, do this and everything is working. There are many people who have said this in their mind. It's very common nowadays. I want to do this and money will come. Why are they doing that? Mostly their aim is to be noticeable, to become somebody, as in their mind, either in their family, society, work, among their friends. I want to be somebody. So then, I should have so much of this world so that they also see me that I'm somebody. Because in many places, in many families, those who don't have, they don't regard, even when they have a family meetings, they go to the village, they listen to those who have money. It doesn't matter their moral, all they think about is money. So people attempt to say, well, okay, then me too, as I've started life, if I have to make something so that when I go to my village, they'll respect me. Or when I meet my friends, they'll respect me. And this idea moves the person. And then he goes on to live for these things. And mostly those who are in this, who are desiring for riches, any opportunity that comes to their way that promises gain or increase of wealth, they embrace it. Tell them about this, about money, they embrace it. Because they think they may add up to their wealth, or it may bring them gain. And they embrace this thing without thinking of the snares of sin in them. Because most of this opportunity comes along with snares of sin. There are dangers around many of the opportunities that promises gain in this world. Promise abundance of gain. Do you know why gambling is so common in our day? I'm sure we know. It's a common. Most of our young men and young women all over. It's serious. Those times when people go to stick lotto in a box alone, hardly will you see people. There are only people who go and stick lotto, because you know that they are going to the lotto box. But today you have your phone, you can do all the gambling you want. And many young people, I've heard of some students who use their school fees to gamble. And I've heard of many who just, they used to do gambling, and they come out penniless. Why are they doing? There's a promise of what? Gain. Is that not so? There's a promise of gain. And other many online money-making schemes. I'm sure we are aware of this thing. Is that not so? And many people follow it because they want plenty. Not that they want to work and God will bless it so that at least they'll have a good help. And there's no. I sleep, I wake, I take my phone, I just gamble, and I want to make money. See, desiring for riches. And I'm sure you know the many trouble that comes with this kind of life. And besides that, the more we think of that, the more we get into sin. Many young people are lured into this godless aim of life. Well, I'm going to school, and my aim is to make it big in life. This is a godless aim. Why? Because it sets the mind on temporal things of this life. The Americans have said, and I say, abotaya e kuti nyakupon afan say e ma wa bi e yini pa bi e si nyakupon so ma ni pa bi but kai e ya si ni o ma nko aso and how we people get into this it produces a dislike in their heart for God and it's lost. It also produces a dislike for God's grace and mercy for needy sinners. It takes away the mind. For the mind and the heart is all about money, money and the things of this world. God is so far from me. I don't want to hear about God and His love. God, when I hear, where is the money coming from? We have gone out for visitations every time. We have seen people. Give the Bible track. Do you have this money pass? If there's no money, I don't think. Though they are joking, but it's the reality. Because they won't. I've heard of this is true. Our brother who has started a work in Nigeria. When they go out to try to invite people to the meeting, how's your church? A question. Meaning, are they prophetic to promise them big things? That's what they are thinking about. Although they don't want to teach the Bible, we don't want that church. You see where this idea of money and worldly things is taking people's mind from? People go to church these days, that's why their church is so called prophet. Because they tell them to love the world. They promise them big. They tell them you are the head, not the tail. So that, and nowadays, I think, even when they are doing this naming ceremony, these pastors, it's sad. They pick up the child, you never have poverty. You never, and I said, who told you? It's a lie. Who will never have poverty in this world? But the Bible, God Himself said, I have cursed the world, I have cursed the earth. He told them of Israel, the poor you always have with you. He promised them the promised land, but he said, the poor you have with you. So think of him. You know why God allowed, apart from the issue of sin, he wants, because if people have money without being generous to others, they go get deeper into sin. But even if I have money, and I'm able to give it help, not just money, if I'm able to have somebody who helps people, it makes me very. Have sympathy for people. But if I'm the type, all I want is for myself. It takes even from my mind that sympathetic feeling for people. You see how people, these fraud people, they easily kill people for money and other things because they don't care of human life. They care of getting money for themselves. So they'll go to the, initially they won't have that idea. But the more they get deeper into the fact that they should make money, even if they are mother, they will take it to make their money. See how far it goes. But the more we get deeper into this aim of money and wealth in this world, there's a dislike in our heart. Satan, that's the work of Satan. See? The love of money is the root of all evil, the Bible says. But how are these so-called prophets and so-called pastors today, many of them promoting this in church? Just last week, I think we heard of one of these false prophets have been jailed because he was duping people with money. This is just one of them. I thought about those who are doing sow seeds in the church, they're taking false money. They all have to put, but God has never promised anybody to sow seed to double money. They are all double, money doubling schemes. That these so-called pastors are using to steal people money. Where has God said, come and sow money so that He will bless you in abundance? And I'm sure you know this big name pastors in Ghana, they are doing this sow seed. It's the same like what this another guy that is doing. The thing here is different. It's the same. She is doing different way, but others are also doing the same way to dupe people with their money. You see? And, you know, most of those who follow these things, they have no concern for their sinfulness. They have no concern for the fact that one day there will be judgment. They have no concern that they have a soul. All that they think is money. You see? The evil of the desire for money. They have no desire to think of what Christ came to do for sinners. The most important thing for life, that He came to suffer and die for needy sinners like you and I. That we should come to Him and receive salvation. No. We want money. See? People don't come to the Lord because of money. And Jesus Christ said it right. He said, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? Those who chase these things, their minds with God, they have nothing to do with God. If they mention the name of God, maybe they have read some promise in the Bible. That speaks about maybe a blessing. That's why they mention it. Apart from that, they will not mention the name of God. You see? But again, Jesus Christ tells us in Matthew 16, 26, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? All those chasing this, what will they do for their soul if they are not saved? What are they going to do when they come to die? Another warning about riches and money. In 1 Timothy 6, 9 to 10. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which draw men into destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Even those who are following religion, because they don't, come to Christ genuinely. And they just hover around, and then they set up love for money in their hearts. They have what? Erred from the faith. They never came to full salvation. They've erred from the faith, and they pierce themselves with many sorrows. Because this desire for money brings so many sorrows. And it's a perdition and destruction. It finally takes you to hell. Takes you far from God. Because you are seeking for the things God has not asked you to seek for. Says of the word, God freely gives to anybody. Those who never know Him and read His word, He makes them rich. They don't need to ask Him for. He makes look at the whole world. The gold and these things, valuable things, they are just in the earth. People dig them up and take them. And they are rich. That also. But God rather wants us to think of the riches of heaven. He takes, that's what the Jesus Christ came to do. He takes our mind from the things of the world. And lift up our minds to the things of heaven. God, as I said, we for believers, Colossians, we are told to set our affections on things above, not on things on earth. You see, because the things of earth, the more we have them, even if we are Christians and we are not faithful and we are not strong, it will even corrupt our faith. Our confidence in the Lord will weaken because, well, when I need this, I guess I have money. Well, my prayer maybe become so cold. But if I can have them, and by the grace of God, he has become faithful. You see? But the warning is that if I am not careful, it will derail me. That's the warning. You see? I go to my next point, and I think I'll be done. The danger of acquired riches. The first one is the desire to have. Here is the, when I have them. As I said before, to have riches is not sin in itself. You see, to have riches is no sin. Jesus Christ never condemned anybody for having money or riches. Okay? But there are many things which arise in the heart when one is made rich. Say, you want a reason in your man and your money. Then, boom. That's how our natures are. I mean, we are made because of sin. The more we have the things of this world, the more we need sinful things. We are tempted. Even if we will not do them, the temptation of those things comes so much. And these things choke up any serious concern, even for a sinner, and his spiritual poverty. Sir, and Nehemiah, And so that such people may hear the gospel several times about the salvation of their soul, but they will make light of it because they have something that will keep them. Why do I bother myself so much about God? Because the idea is that if I go to God, He should be a source of more money, but I have money, so why do I think of it? Some common dangers I have here. Often many find in worldly riches a sense of security from life troubles, and also a sense of security from life troubles. That's one of the common things.
Many a times, even those who have little, even I have little in my account, there's kind of feeling of security, that also, from life troubles. But this is false security. And if I'm very brilliant, I'm so, I'm not going to be able to do it. I'm not going to be able to do it. Na me se sa asumbi ena se homba mbona inyao sayu yasi yomuno anyano pray. Do you know that life calamities have no respect of persons? The sick, the rich and the poor, they can all get sick and also they can all get losses. We don't invite sickness. We do invite sickness. No. We invite death. No. We invite disappointment. No. Whether you are rich or poor, these calamities to face. So that when I think I have money or worldly things, I will be free from life troubles. I'm deceiving myself. The various difficulties of life, I will not be free from. Yes, I can buy everything I want, but I cannot buy health. I cannot buy not to get disappointment. I cannot buy death. These things are there for me also, you see. So, it's a deception that I can be secure from life trouble when I have money. I've heard some who say that they will be better if they die in sin with worldly riches than to die poor as believers in Christ. But I think if you say, well, if you ask me, I know, say, me who me born in Ghana, me who came more, me person said, me who say, me yet used to near, me yet near. It's very common. I've heard people saying that. Oh, we would not say that's the mind people think. You see, this is a deception of Satan. He blinds them about the suffering of the misery of hell. He made them people think that, well, the suffering of this life is greater, so that they have to enjoy life in that way. You may say, well, people saying that that's an extreme, but that is true of many who will never be saved. You can't say, well, when you ask them, you have no one born anymore, okay? So, they're Christian, you're not going to be able to do it. Say yenya or go from. See a common society, see a money room, and yam, bra. He said, if you are told them, we are sending your money, Yakuma teach you. If you are so, if I told them, Yakanya is the minister. And the prince was there, what bra, your fear, then you hear the bear, the moon. Niano, the year, pass the beer of every gym, the yam bra, the crystal, any more. See yaw go from. See yaw come as a I used to do it right, so I said, I don't say I didn't hear my name. I'm right, I'm also going to be a brass, which is a tenacious issue. Another thing we have is that riches of this world often produces appetite for excessive love for worldly pleasures. If we are seeing your man, and we can come up, seeing you are seeing your man, you are seeing your man, a door, or say, if it's nice, your drama, if we are seeing you, you after we are saying it, but yeah, I have a win here. Maybe I am again, you see, we're scared of it. Riches of this world often produces appetite. You see, the word is appetite. I'm sure we know that when we have less, our appetites are less than also. See, you need to have a bra, your corner, even in a good way, it's less than also. Even we choose the kind of food we need. But when we have money, we don't really try to think of. We just think of what we can buy. But then we translate this to the fact of worldly things in general. The more I have, the more my appetite for spending also goes down also. And the more I become love of pleasure. We are saying, we are saying, all that I want to find a means to happy myself because I have many of this world. Because in that state, I can acquire many things to delight my flesh. That also, which means I never will be able to and ask him, I'm going to be able to get my phone number, And I'm sure the Bible also warns us about the pleasures of this world. The more we grow, this thing grows in our heart, the more many sins comes, because we become so loose to sensual things and many unnecessary guilty things. Then God, again, God as Master of Eternity becomes less relevant. God as Master of Eternity becomes less relevant to the pleasure seeker. The one who loves entertainment and many of the worldly pleasures, he has less concern for God and eternity. And then the heart is hardened. It hardens the heart. The heart, the gospel has no beauty or pleasure in them. It's about suffering for Christ. Why there's pleasure in this world? So no, I have no interest in that. Because you know the good, the true gospel of Christ demands self-denial. Gentia, if you are saying here that you about to obey, then you know. If you say we are seeing the gentleman of freedom, but the back is to war, but if we say or see a fool, and one of the requirements, though it doesn't save us, I say we should deny ourselves, we can never follow him. So how can I be someone who loves pleasure and then deny myself? It's not possible, because there are many even leisures or pleasures that are not sinful. I have to own up if I want to become a Christian. And am I willing to do that? If I give myself to them because I have enough of the world things, how can I come to the Lord? Because my heart is set on enjoyment. Then also, the struggles of many that are not willing to deny themselves of worldly comfort or possession for the sake of salvation, we find it in the case of this young man. It was a struggle for him. But we are told in verse 22 that, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful. He didn't just, okay, I will not listen. He was, well, when somebody is sorrowful, that doesn't have affected him. He has thought of it. How will I continue in this world if I lose everything? My life has ended. Yet I want eternal life. Yet I want to have heaven. And yet I want to hold on to these things. So it becomes a trouble for him. I don't want to let go. And then I cannot have heaven. And Galatians 5 says, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of heaven? That's the trouble, the struggle. I want the Lord, I want salvation, I want eternal life, but here am I, I'm entangled with that pleasure and the comfort that I derive from the things of the world. How can I live it and come and suffer being a Christian? Because I have to let go of many things, because there are many things that I have to maybe let go when I become a Christian. And then maybe my kind of possessions will come down. I've come to the end of my subject, but then friends, whoever will rest his or her happiness in the things of this world will never sincerely seek salvation for his or her soul. It is true. We be able to say, John, now come and say, we are seeing you, my mother. And then the cross of a pen, quite a man at the crown. He or she may go to church, he may be a religious person. I will never seek salvation for him or her soul. He will never do that. And this is the mystery of many who are religious but yet deficient of the life of Christ. How can I have the life of Christ in my soul? Except I am the one who have yielded up everything. My confidence in everything in this world. That even if I should lose anything and have Christ, it's enough. Until we have come to that condition, that's it. The Lord is my all. Coming to him is everything to me. Until I've come to that, I cannot come to this stage where God wants us to. Because people will live in this condition of emptiness of the life of Christ and just being religious and die and go to eternal hell because they never give up. Some people give up a little, but they have to give up all. Not that I've said, not that we shouldn't have the possessions. The Bible is one. The warning is that we should not put our love and hope in that. Meaning that we should not be those who have put in our mind that we want to be rich in this world. You see? If God, by His own providence, in our working, the things, I mean, our business or our work as money grows, that's fine. But God sometimes do that for people. But then we shouldn't set in our heart that, well, we for us, by hook or crook, we should be rich in this world. And when we do that, it works against our soul salvation. So this is the warning of the Lord Jesus Christ to all, that when we set our heart on the things of this world, it takes away the heart from seeking to have peace with God, to have reconciliation with God. My last question to you again. Are you saved? Have you given up your heart, the love and the trust in the things of this world to Christ? Do you love anything so dearly that you cannot lose your Christ? Do you love anything dearly that you cannot yield up so that you come, become poor before Him? So that He directs your life and chooses what you should like and what you shouldn't like. When I become a Christian, Christ chooses my friends for me. He chooses my relations for me. He chooses my way of doing business for me. When a businessman becomes a Christian, if he's a genuine Christian, his manner of doing business changes. That is it. He will continue doing business, but his attitude and his aim of business changes. If I am a married person and I become a Christian, my attitude might also change. Initially, my idea of marriage is different, but the world has a different idea of all these things. When I become a Christian, then the idea of everything changes because Christ teaches me. That is what you are talking about. And then everything goes to God. Everything will be for the glory of God. What the Bible tells us, whatever the believer does, we should do all to the glory of God. So that everything will change. Before, though I may say I'll do for the glory of God, I'm a liar because I do for myself. But when I become a Christian, everything, if I have many or less, it's to the glory of God. I use it for His glory. That's all that makes a difference. Friends, if you have not come to Him, give up. Build up your heart and come to Him. Else you can't be saved. Salvation hands here. God saves by saying that we should yield up our heart. We cannot serve God and mammon. We should give our heart to Him. May the Lord help us as we think about these things. In closing,